Welcome back to Brains and Guts, the GI Innovation Podcast brought to you by the American College of Gastroenterology. I am Vladimir Kushner, the Chair of the Innovation and Technology Committee and your co-host. Across the past year, we brought you conversations with leaders across the innovation landscape, clinical practice, legal, fundraising, and more, to help demystify the process and make innovation more accessible to all. In each episode, we ask guests for their top advice. As I listened to everyone's answers, some themes came up multiple times, like teamwork and passion. We also heard our guests talk about their avoidable mistakes, like underestimating the time commitment necessary, as well as the financial and regulatory challenges posed to innovators. Next year, Brains and Guts podcast will pivot to discussion of artificial intelligence in gastroenterology. Think practical applications like clinical and administrative settings, getting sufficient reimbursement, and patient experience. But now, join us for a trip down memory lane from season one, and hear our experts' best advice. First up, Dr. VK Sharma, on your mindset at the beginning of the innovation journey.
Figure out who you are as an innovator or inventor, entrepreneur. You don't have to be one. I think usually you have two of them to execute on the plan. You know, just figure out your why, because all of us are doing great patient care work. So, you know, we don't need another job. So you need to have an important why to get into that. I don't think, you know, having a big problem or a good idea is enough. So start investing. If you're going to go into clinical research, you will not just say, I want to do clinical research. You will learn the tools to do good clinical research. So similarly, you have to start learning the tools to execute and learn patterns. You know, there are other things that we haven't talked about, you know, regulatory processes, reimbursement. There are things that we don't think about that come into innovation. And the most important thing that you can do is start building your network, you know, and it's a network of peers that are doing innovations. You know, I usually say get to know the doers and not the talkers, because they have walked the walk and they have experiences and reflexes that you're not going to get from reading books or listening to podcasts. You want to have people you can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, listen, I'm having this problem. What do you think? And most importantly, you know, we all do that, but network with people in industry and treat them nicely, because you need them to either license your idea or develop your idea. Because, you know, the physicians are a very important component, but a component of the innovation process. You need engineers, you need people, managerial people to bring your product to market.
Next, we have Dr. Steven Mundowitz to help us get a gut check on the financials.
I think the common financial mistakes are underestimating what the true cost of delivery is going to be and underestimating how much funding you're going to need to get to the finish line. I think if most of the experiences I've had with startups have not been, you know, boy, we have a lot of extra money here. What are we going to do? It's always, you know, how am I going to make it to January? And how are we going to get some more funds to get this final problem that we've identified fixed? And so, you know, there are no big reserve banks. There's no one you can tap on to get help from. It becomes a challenge. You know, a lot of small companies have failed because they just couldn't raise the funds to continue the mission. I think the second thing is that you have to be careful. You don't want to get sucked into putting a lot of your own money into a project, not knowing, you know, you have the belief, you think it's going to return, but it may not be a really good investment. So you need to think about how you're going to diversify that and not get caught in a situation where you're holding a lot of the debt. You've paid for a lot of this and it's not going to make it. If you have a great idea and you believe you have a great idea and you can't convince at least one or two other people that it's a great idea, that's probably a problem. I think the other part of this is that, you know, the financing changes so much. I mean, it's a challenge to try to keep it going, but it's also interesting to look at where the sources are. There are small business initiative grants that you can get. There are individual grants from institutions that will give you some money to get started. Not big dollars, but enough to get going to the point where you can attract a VC group or a private equity group that wants to get into this space. Just remember that when you go for your first round of funding, there's a payback for that, right? You're going to lose a big portion of the company when you do that. And no one is investing money because they really like you or that they think you have a great idea. All of the equity companies that are investing money are doing it because they want to see a big return. And that is a vote of confidence, but it also sets up quite a milestone for you to meet.
Then Robert Takara explains why non-lawyers should be engaged in the patent process.
Once you've identified a challenge for which you wish to develop a solution, the more time you dedicate to searching the product and patent landscape related to your invention, the more you will not only likely develop an invention to address that challenge better, but also be able to describe the invention in your patent application and the claim strategically over the existing art. And if and when you work with a patent attorney, you weren't able to provide your patent attorney with writing a bulk of the patent application specification that covers your invention and all its various embodiments. You can provide your patent attorney with copies of any relevant art and prepare thorough explanations of how your invention is novel over the existing art. These are all fantastic ways to drastically reduce the overall cost of the process. It's important to know that you, as an inventor, will be more intimately familiar with your invention than any examiner or even your patent attorney will ever be.
From there, Monarch Partners entrepreneur Jeremy Starkweather weighs in on fundraising and building your team.
I think the biggest delay to time in this space is raising money. So, you know, how can you get, without giving up, you know, all of the company's equity to a bunch of people that, you know, you might have marginal confidence in, find the people that you know and trust, do everything you can to accelerate the speed of the project. And if you've got to give up something to speed up the project, do it, because you can get mired in small things like, oh, I'm gonna have like, a two month long back and forth versus some term sheet with somebody. It's for me, it's about going fast and getting it done, because every moment that passes by, you could have another entrance in the market that competes against your technology. You could have a changing of the actual environment. Let's say, you know, a new drug comes out. There's a lot of things associated with time delays. So having a clear pathway and purpose, crunching in the time as fast as you can, I think really benefits the overall project in general. So try not to get hung up on one single thing that's going to slow you down for months, because time is money. And so if I could look back over past projects, there's some things that we would have done probably to accelerate the effort. And that's my biggest takeaway.
Next, it's Christian Springs on prototyping and medical device design.
The one thing I've seen with all these startups that we help run in my business is designing in a silo. When I pick them up, they have designed in a silo for years, meaning that they have not talked to you or Dr. Kushner or Dr. Reitman or whoever it may be, or someone like me who's been in industry and sold a ton of product over a 20 plus year career. They've done it inside a little group where they think they have to finish everything before they show it to you. Expand the organization that is your peer group in your project. I can tell you flat out, if there's one thing, don't design in a silo. Get people to communicate back to you on what you were doing. You have to watch the disclosure police when it comes to the USPTO and how you develop your IP. There's that. But you have to develop people that can give you, they don't drink the Kool-Aid, look at what I'm doing. You will be so much better off for that 5 to 10 years down the road in what you're trying to build. Trust me. I tell people this every time I give a talk in any capacity, don't design in a silo. For some reason, it happens almost every time. And then you come out of it with a patent submittal that's garbage. It's not worth the paper that's written on because it doesn't work. And you have a product that has a really cool idea, but you went down this rabbit hole without bringing in some other people to help you out. And you made so many bad decisions and you've spent so much money, it's really hard to get out of that.
Last but not least, Steve Fallon covered freedom to operate and why intellectual property law helps you compete against bigger businesses.
Innovators are primarily concerned, and rightly so, with the technical side of innovation. The goal of technical innovation, however, is to obtain a competitive advantage in the marketplace. If you're driven to innovation and you're driven to establishing the company, innovators should be excited about meeting the requirements of the business side in the negotiation. And the business side is not limited to the IP law, but when you're forming a company, depending on which state you're in, you're registering your business, obtaining any certifications necessary. If you're in the medical products business, try to be excited about that. Try to view it as sort of the training or the necessary steps to establish a business. It's just as important as the innovation if your goal is to have a successful business. A successful business involves innovation on the technical side. It involves business on the marketing and registration side, and it involves the law, for example, on the product side, or the Food and Drug Administration, and on the patents and trademarks and copyright side as well. My number one advice is this: stay excited, stay driven, and stay practical. Don't be emotional about your innovation. The commercial market that you're entering is not an emotional market. It's a practical market. The commercial market rewards innovation, sure, but you have to meet all the requirements of the innovation. The intellectual property law offers you a chance to compete against big business and create amazing wealth, perhaps, to provide employment for people. It's so important to our country that it's embedded in the Constitution, and some would argue that the patent clause of the Constitution is one of the reasons that our country has developed such a strong economy. So to emphasize, stay excited, stay driven, and stay practical regarding the law and the business side of your innovation.
Thanks again for listening to Brains and Guts in 2024. We'll be back next year with new episodes. As always, we welcome your feedback and suggestions. Please email us at brainsandguts@gi.org. We'll talk again soon.